Today's reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 35. Watchfulness. Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will make them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or towards daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It would be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly, I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master's taken a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready, or does not do what the master wants, will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us through your word, and we ask you now to speak to our hearts and to our minds in Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful when you come to a place and you get a passage that ends on such gruesome things, and you read the passage in advance and think, okay, you know, I don't come to Hedge End very often. Lord, what are you asking me to say to the people here today? The first thing I want to do is to say thank you for inviting me today. It is such a joy to be here. I haven't been here loads and loads of times, but every time I come, your welcome is tremendous. But more importantly, the sense of the presence of God here is remarkable. It's one of the few places when you worship, when I am able to come and worship as me and really sense God's Spirit. That doesn't mean that God isn't there in other places, but I deeply feel God's Spirit at work when you are worshiping. So I want to say that because it's really important that you know that that's something that I notice when I come here, that God is at work, particularly as you worship, and the sense of his Spirit moving is immense. So take encouragement from that. And it's wonderful for me to be able to sit in a front row rather than at the front of a church facing everybody and just be free to enter into that for myself. So thank you. I'm really grateful for your welcome and for the ability to come and be me as I worship. But I did think about what on earth am I going to say? And Ben had helpfully given a title, Dressed and Ready. And when I read that title, the first image I had was of my boys who are adults as toddlers and trying to get them dressed and ready to go anywhere. Blimmin' it, that was hard work. It would take forever. Getting shoes on, they didn't want those shoes. That whole sense of getting dressed was quite an exercise. Sometimes even now, I have to say, when we're all around together for Christmas or whatever and we decide to go out for a walk, it can still take quite a long time to get everyone herding together, to get ready and to get out for something. So getting dressed is really important, but being ready. So when you've got your toddlers, not only do you have to get them dressed, you've got to think about all the eventualities that might happen while you're on your particular expedition. What extras do you need in that bag? Because there's nothing worse than getting to the park and them saying, "Did you bring my football, Mum?" Because they won't have remembered to bring it. And you say, "No, I haven't." And you have a tantrum. You have to think of all the eventualities and be ready for what might face you. So as I thought of that image, I thought, actually, that's a really helpful image to think about what God might be saying to us today with that sense of being dressed and being ready. So here in Luke, Jesus is talking to his disciples only. We can see that because Peter asks the question, "Who are you speaking to? Is it just to us or is this for everyone?" He's speaking to his disciples, so that's that close-knit group of people. And he starts by saying, "Be dressed and ready." And the first image that the disciples would have had, not of toddlers getting dressed and ready, what they would have thought about was the Passover. Because that's an image that is very, very strong to them. They're Jewish, remember. And they're Jewish and following the Jewish traditions, which is why at the Last Supper they are celebrating Passover. And at Passover, there's a huge image of being dressed and ready. So just a quick reminder of where Passover comes in the Old Testament. It comes in Exodus 12. And this is when Moses has been told by God that he will lead his people out of Egypt. And he goes to tell Pharaoh this, and Pharaoh says no. And God sends plagues on the whole land. And mostly God's people are impacted by those plagues. Then the final plague is coming, and that's the killing of the firstborn. And it's pretty gruesome. But the killing of the firstborn. And at this point, God's people will be saved from that. And they will be saved because the angel will pass over their houses. And the way that the angel will know is that the Jewish people have to kill a lamb. They have to eat it. It has to be prepared in a particular way. It has to be eaten with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. And then in Exodus 12:11, it says this: "This is how you should eat: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hands, and you shall eat it hurriedly." It's not a very relaxed meal. It's not the image in the upper room at Passover where they're reclining around the table. There's an urgency in this first Passover. Dressed and ready, their loins girded, sandals on their feet, and staff in hands. So dressed and ready, Jesus is using words that will resonate deeply with the disciples, and their image of Passover will be coming to them at that point. And there's urgency in the Passover story, and there's urgency here in Luke's gospel. So that got me thinking, what is this urgency? And what is the urgency about? In the Passover, the urgency is about being ready for fleeing, being ready to go, to leave Egypt and to be led into the promised land. They are to be ready, dressed, ready to go. At that moment that Moses calls them, they need to go. For Luke, in the Luke's gospel, the message to the disciples is that they need to be ready for that second coming of Jesus, that sense of him returning and coming again. And we have various images throughout the Old Testament of that second coming. As we go into Advent, you'll be hearing some of those as well. That preparation of what is still to come. And if you think about the letters that Paul wrote, Paul was aware that those early disciples were thinking very really about how when Jesus would return. And they believed that he was going to return in their lifetime. And if you read Thessalonians, what Paul is discussing with the disciples at that point is the fact that Jesus hasn't returned. And there's questions being raised. Well, we thought he was going to return in our lifetime, and some of our fellowship have died, and what does that mean for them? But there was a sense of urgency that Jesus was there in reality. He was going to die, but he would return again soon. And the disciples needed to be ready for that second return. So two different situations, two different contexts, but an urgency in both of those. So what is urgency for us today? What does it mean to be dressed and ready with a sense of urgency? 2,000 years later, Jesus hasn't yet returned. And we may need to think about what it means for us to live in expectation of his return. But I think there are greater urgencies for us. That is an urgency. Please don't hear that. I'm not saying that. But I think for practical things for us today, to live dressed and ready, what does it mean for us today, and what is our urgency? And I wonder whether one of the urgencies is the establishment of God's kingdom here on earth as in heaven. We've prayed the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is an urgency because that's a reality. And I wonder whether we have that expectation of God's kingdom being established in fullness here on earth as it is in heaven. And what we might need to do to play our part in that happening. We've just sung Waymaker. You are here in our midst. You are working amongst us. We sing it with our mouths. We know it in our heads. But how does that translate into living day by day that God is at work? He is at work in our lives. He's at work in our world, and he's at work in our communities already. And he is moving. And our urgency is to, firstly, believe that he is moving, and secondly, to see what he is doing. Because when we join with what God is doing, his kingdom is established. Are we dressed and ready, able to spot what God is doing and joining with him? We go back to Passover and think of Moses. Moses had this amazing experience with the burning bush, where he'd been away from his palace for quite some time, working with his father-in-law, tending the sheep, and one day he sees a burning bush. And he could have walked past it. But he noticed it and turned back. He was on his way past it, but deliberately turned back and was drawn towards it. And God spoke to him through that burning bush. How many burning bushes do we walk past? How many instances of God at work do we not notice? Because we're rushing along the path to get to our destination, and we don't see what God is saying to us and doing to us in our very midst. What might it be to notice those burning bushes? What might it mean to notice God at work in Hedge End? To find the people who he is already speaking to hear the cries of those hearts crying out, I don't know where you are, Lord, but if you exist, please show yourself to me. Those who are looking in other ways to find that sense of value and belonging, because God is at work in their lives. I was really challenged when I left a large gathered church in a town centre where people came having been Christians for most of their lives. We did do Alpha courses and new people came to faith, but the vast majority of people in our congregation were ones who had been discipled and grown up in the Christian faith for many, many years. And I went to a different context and I met people who were in church for the first time in their lives. And I heard some of their stories. They were part of a home group. And one evening we went round and told our stories. And I was blown away. Because some of these people in their 40s told stories of God meeting them long before they walked to church. One person had been out for a walk with their dog on the local common and had a deep sense that God wanted to become real to them. They weren't praying, they weren't experiencing hardship, but they just had a deep sense of God wanting to be part of their lives. And so they found themselves along at church one Sunday. There was another man who was cutting his grass on a Sunday, must have been quite early in the morning, and he suddenly had a real urge to be in a church service. And it came from nowhere. So he laid down his lawnmower and drove around. In the first church, it was too early. The second church, it was too late. It's a bit like Goldilocks. And the third church, he arrived just on time. And it happened to be the church that I ended up as the vicar of. And he ended up being there, and his whole family were there, and his wife became church warden. And what surprised me, and it shouldn't have done, because I know this in my head, was that God had been at work in their lives long before they ever met a Christian and long before they walked into church. And it opened my eyes to notice what God was doing in the lives of people in the local community who didn't know the language of faith, who couldn't articulate what was going on but were searching. Praise God that he had brought those people miraculously, because they showed me what was possible. What is going on in your communities? Are you dressed and ready to engage with what God is already doing? What about your teenagers who pour in here? Is it Thursday? To come and have some food. What is God doing in their lives? They may well have had some experience. Sometimes we think that people come empty and that we give them a package of the gospel and we teach them the gospel. And actually, part of what I have learned is that we build on what God has already done. And actually, we can learn a lot from the people coming. So what environment are we creating? What atmosphere are we creating? What opportunities are we giving people who already have something of a sense of God at work in their lives? God is at work. Are we dressed and ready to join with him? There's a theological phrase, it's Latin, called Missio Dei. And that's something that's been spoken about over the last 20, 30 years in a refreshed way. It's not new. But it's the sense of God having a mission and us joining with him. And there's a phrase in a report called Mission-Shaped Church that says this. It is not the church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission who has a church in the world. That changes the way we see what we are called to do. It's not that we begin a mission when we go out. It's that God already has the mission and he invites us to join with him. And I think that is the urgency of our church today, to notice what God is doing and to join with him in establishing his kingdom in our families, in our households, our schools, our workplaces, and in our local communities. And we need to be ready and dressed to join with him in that journey. So what does that look like? What does it look like to be dressed and ready? And for each of us, there'll be different pieces of work that we need to do. Some of us, we need to find the shoes. Others of us need to learn how to do up a zip. It will look different for each of us. But we need to be equipped, willing, and rested. And equipped, I would suggest, is being discipled. We ourselves need to be confident in who we are in Christ, knowing our own faith, our own understanding, so that when conversations happen, we can naturally join in, not as an evangelist per se, but as someone who shares a story. Are you confident in your story? Are you confident to share what Christ means to you? To be able to answer some of the questions that people might have? What discipleship do you need to develop? How well do you know your Bible? How well are you able to offer words of comfort from Psalms when somebody is there? Your prayer life, how strong is that? What might you need to do to be equipped? And then you need to be willing. There needs to be an openness in our lives to do what God asks of us and not to worry about being embarrassed or getting it wrong, but just giving it a go. The first time's the hardest. But the more we do it, the more confident we become. But we need also to be open to go to the places that we'd rather not be, the places that take us out of our comfort zone. And again, as we do that, God equips us and gives us the confidence to step into places of discomfort. It's often in those places we meet God most. It's why often going overseas to trips to take us completely away that we encounter Jesus in a new and an exciting way, because it's way beyond what we currently know. We need to be equipped, we need to be willing, And I want to say we need to be rested. I think life is very, very busy. And often church and mission and all the things we want to do in evangelism becomes very busy. You have talked about a busy life. I'm not criticizing your busyness over Christmas because I know that that's what it is. But underneath that, that's action that you're talking about. What action do you need to do to invite people in? But if you are so exhausted that by the time they arrive for the carol services, you're just waiting to get home for your glass of wine, actually, you've lost the point of that. There's something about being rested. And I want to suggest that that's spiritual, it's mental, and it's physical well-being. Are you caring for yourselves as individuals and as a church fellowship and community to ensure that as you enter into to God's journey, you do it in the best way possible? He wants us to be rested and ready to go disciples rather than worn out and giving the last of what we have, the last of our energy. And I don't know why I put that in, but I just sense, and maybe it's for myself as well, that we can give out so much and be so exhausted that we don't give of our best. I know that when I stop, when I go for a walk, when I encounter God in the ways that work for me and make time to do that and make time to rest and feed my soul, I notice God so much more because I've been retuned. What do you need to do to be retuned, to notice, and to be able to respond to what God is doing? So dressed and ready. What does that mean for you as an individual? What does that mean for you as a church community? Because God is at work, and he's working amongst you, and he wants to do a whole lot more. And I feel that every time I come. Ben, your institution was one of the most joyful ones that I've been at because that sense of expectation of what God is going to do in this place is it's tangible. I can feel it when I come in. He wants to do so much more because he loves his people of Hedge End and he longs for them to know him. And I don't know what that's going to look like. I don't know whether it means that this place is going to be full at 10 o'clock on a Sunday or whether it's going to look different in different ways. But God is at work amongst the people that you live amongst. And he wants to use you. And that's a huge privilege. But he wants to use you for who you are. A child of Christ. Confident in your faith and in your story. Ready and willing to go where he calls you. And in a good state of mind. Rested in spiritual, mental, physical well-being. So that you've got everything it takes to respond. There is an urgency. Our world is desperate to know the love of God. And he chooses to use his weak and feeble church to do that. What a privilege and what a joy. And keep on doing it. And I want to hear stories from afar of what God has done in this place. Amen.